Auckland Grey Power is pleased to sponsor this edition of Senior Focus.
Welcome everyone to 2020 Senior Focus's first program of the year. I'm Anne-Marie Khoury, your presenter, and what a great beginning to the year. And I just want to say that it's wonderful to have an audience to talk to. It's wonderful to have an opportunity to reflect on the year ahead and contemplating what does it mean for us to be strongly centred and be prepared for anything. Because, you know, we've had a number of tragedies, sudden weather events, sudden things happen to us over 2019, and we need to really be the best we can be despite any side effects of ageing or any aches and pains and day-to-day living problems. We need to be able to rise above that to face whatever's going on in the world, whether it be climate change, terrorism or whatever, because it can pop up right under our nose in New Zealand. So on that theme, I was thinking, where do we turn for inspiration and how can we endeavour to be shining and sparkling and uplifting others? And it put me on the track of reflecting about how do you cultivate a spirit of gratitude? Because all the research that I've done into well-being, it seems to have a foundation around having a strong resilient core, which is built through an attitude of gratitude, not something that like a band-aid you stick on yourself from outside. This actually bubbles up from within. This is something you create and monitor and develop and nurture yourself. So it's not dependent on a set of beliefs. You could have people from six different religions all practicing gratitude, all having a daily focus on gratitude, but they would have quite different philosophies and religious beliefs, or they might not be religious at all. I come across quite often people who want to blame others or moan or, you know, get stuck in their disappointment, their sadness about letdowns and things that haven't worked. And at the beginning of a year, you have a whole year ahead of you to practice something that will make a difference. So my challenge to you this year is to consider taking up a practice that will expand your appreciation of others, that will expand gratitude for those who've invested in you. Because, you know, when we look back, most of what happened to us and most of what enriched us as children, a lot of it was given to us for free. A lot of it was done freely for our benefit, not for the return of the other party. Whether it's what our parents went out of their way to do for us, whether it's what our uncles and aunts, grandparents did, school teachers, or whatever, we can track back a stream of gratitude that we benefited from. And so it is possible to use reflection on gratitude just within your own life to see. You can't necessarily say thank you to someone face to face, they're not here, but you can express your gratitude by how you live your life and what you do with your life. So it's something quite rich. It's a field that you can tap into. It's a way of giving back to yourself, strengthening yourself, and it doesn't cost anything except a bit of time and a bit of energy, but it's basically something that you have total control over, when you do it, how you do it, what you do. So when I contemplated what other people are doing, what I've heard people say they're doing, and thought back myself over my own life and what I've done, it's kind of like the obvious thing to me was the gratitude journal, the gratitude diary. They're even selling them in shops. They're even, you know, part of the gift season giving program. Now, that wasn't really what I had in mind when I started making the program, but that was a starting point because I remembered Jenny Mae Clarkson, the sports reporter, actually saying how she had been given one of these diaries and how when she started, she was a bit sceptical about, you know, just whether she'd keep it going and what it would mean for her. But she's actually amazed at the impact it's had on her life, and she's so... talks it up on lots of occasions so well that it made me thought, well, yeah, I can go back to a time when I used that. I'm not doing it at the moment, but what am I going to do this year is still the question that's going through my head, and how am I going to do this? Now, some people do practice gratitude. They do it when they do their gardening. They go out to the garden and they say thanks to nature for everything that's going on in the garden, for the insects that are pollinating, and for the wind and the rain and the sun that are actually helping the seeds grow and so on. So they actually take time to reflect, to notice, and to take note of what's going on around them. So they do it as an observation of nature. And after all, nature owes us nothing but gives us everything. So it's a very good starting point for gratitude. I mean, even if you practice that for 5 minutes in a park near your home, if you don't have your own garden, or even on your deck if you have a pot garden, I think it might seem dippy, but it could be a very good experiment to get involved with. So everyone will find something that they could do for this exercise. So I'm only just here to jog your thoughts, to get you to think a little bit further in a groove that you might not be used to. Sometimes when we think about having gratitude, we think about also things that go alongside that, expanding compassion. And there's been lots of calls because of the different tragedies that have occurred in New Zealand over the last year. There's been lots of calls for us to have greater compassion for people. And I often think there's a trap there because some people think, oh, well, yes, oh, poor dear, you know, I'm very sympathetic. But they're actually, when they actually express that to the person who has gone through the tragedy, they're reinforcing the person's pain and suffering. They're locking in the trauma. How much good is that? It's no good to either party, actually. But genuine empathy is where you can actually sit with someone. You may even sit in silence, but you're actively listening with your whole body and mind and spirit. So the call for kindness or compassion that's been ringing out over 2019, that's still relevant. And whether it comes from people who are struggling to run food banks, or whether it comes from Muslim leaders after the March 15 attack, or whether it comes from the Prime Minister, or just from somebody who is the coalface dealing with lots of traumatized people every day. Wherever it comes from, if you've got a practice of gratitude going in your life, it gives you reserves to call on. It allows you to maybe pay it forward when you're at the petrol station or the supermarket checkout and you see someone struggling because they haven't quite got enough to pay the bill. You know, just handing them an extra $5 or $10, it's not much out of your pocket. It's really not a lot, but it can make a huge difference to that person. And so random acts of kindness are a way of expressing gratitude, giving our thanks back in an indirect fashion for all the things that have been given to us. I guess that one of the things that I was focusing on when I started thinking about this program was the work that the Mental Health Foundation does and their 5 ways to well-being. And one of those 5 ways is to take note, to do observation, to use observation as a way of training the mind, staying very present, very focused, but it can also be used to deepen gratitude. So like I said, those people who go out into their garden and give thanks to nature before they start toiling away are actually practicing that one of those five ways to well-being. They may not know it, but that's what they're doing. So I just wanted to put a plug in there. If you're interested in looking at any of those ways to well-being, on the Mental Health Foundation website, you will find information about this. It's very clear, very easy to get, and they will even send you information out if you get in touch with them. So I'm not going to give all the details because that's very easy to find, and if you can't find it yourself in Google, then you can go to the library, and the librarian will help you find it. I am very keen to have more music on our program this year and to have more people in the studio and more people in dialogue with us. And so I've decided that the spirit of gratitude could be something that permeates the work this year, that we at least once a month focus one of the programs on this and bring some people in who are doing some interesting experiments. Sometimes people work in research and in policy and they work very long, hard hours, and they're often working against trying to get a shift, a mindset shift, to enable information to be collected differently, data to be analysed differently. And I'm drawn to the work of Marilyn Waring because 30 years ago she wrote a really groundbreaking book called Counting for Nothing. And in that book she identified all the unpaid work, all the things that in the formal world of work and the work of government and treasury that counts the dollars, that work is not counted. It's not included in data sets that treasury collect and so on. And so for 30 years she has worked to change that, and the amount of change is not huge, but having a Prime Minister saying we're going to measure well-being is probably the best music to her ears in 30 years that she's heard. There is a little bit of hope on the horizon, and there's a little bit more happening. The census does collect how many hours people spend in voluntary work. And that's only been of recent times, but at least that's something if the census happens. But we're really still not counting how much it costs for women to rear children or the unpaid hours that go into childcare. We count the paid childcare hours, but not the unpaid ones. The unpaid work that our seniors do in communities, the glue they are that keep things running, the way they do the friends at the hospital, or the way they do Meals on Wheels, the way they chip in and help schools fundraise, the way they mind grandchildren. None of this is really measured. It may be in the voluntary hours in the census, but apart from that, no, there isn't an analysis of that, nor is there much around the caregiving roles that people play. And with a rapidly growing ageing population, that's something we really need more data about. We really need to plan for the gaps for the people who don't have caregivers within their family and can't rely on family. So Marilyn's work is highly relevant today, and I discovered that she's put a new book out. And so I'm expressing gratitude to her for the work that she's done around policy making, around well-being, and particularly around the role of women. And I heard her speak late last year at the Mary Drever lecture, the annual lecture that celebrates our first Auckland Woman of Parliament, and a very amazing politician and a groundbreaker and trailblazer like Marilyn herself. And so hearing her speak and hearing her talk about the long struggle just made me want to pay tribute to her as just an example of how I can bring gratitude into my work. Now, we're going to stop for a music break, and I've selected from the Best Bet, which is a Bette Midler album, I've selected a track, Wind Beneath My Wings, because in a way, that's what gratitude is. The spirit of gratitude is like the wind beneath your wings. And I just thought this was an apt song. So sit back and enjoy, and we'll come back after the break.
Never have sunlight on your face.
Welcome back, everyone. We're talking about gratitude for the first program of the new year. And this section of the program, I want to focus on a writer, Dr. Kerry Howells from Hobart, Tasmania, who's written a book on gratitude, and she's got another one coming out. And she's a lecturer who works in the education field. She works on teacher education at both tertiary and primary and secondary levels. And in her work and in her research and so on, she's looked at the impact of training children to have gratitude in the school environment, how it can shift bullying behaviour, how it can help students refocus and remotivate and lift their achievement. Very interesting studies indeed, and I'm hoping that she'll be in New Zealand this year and presenting her second book. I'm looking forward to that. I've had some conversations with her, and it's all starting to shape up very well. There are a number of challenges for minority students in schools where they feel targeted, bullied, and then when they can't take it anymore and they lash out, then they're expelled. And it's not surprising, quite a number of these students are Muslim, and they're often not lacking in intelligence, but they're having difficulties adjusting to an environment where they are being victimised. So this is something that schools have to not just at the end of the line expel them, they have to actually start looking more carefully at what is happening in the situation and give them some tools with which to deal with the bullying, as well as take some action to redirect the energy and the interactions that are going on. So I look forward to some of the challenges that will come out of having Dr. Kerry Howells visit here, and what is likely to come out of her second book. It's one of my missions for the year to assist her with this promotion of the book, and it fits in quite nicely with my own practice of gratitude. So I'm walking the talk, so it's going to be very, very interesting to see what else happens. But I'm noticing quite a number of synergistic events and meetings have occurred already in the last month since I met with Kerry Howells. So one meeting I had a week ago was with a woman who leads a lot of action in the refugee migrant space and a lot of experimental innovative programs, and she has invited me to come and organise a pilot workshop on gratitude, but she's also interested in what's happening in the space in the schools. So I guess we're going to have a very interesting year in terms of who gets on the program and how we work with people on the program and how we dialogue with you, our listeners. I'm really keen to hear from people who actually get involved in trialing out and making changes in their lives based on things they hear on the program. So we can take that feedback on board. We don't have to have your personal name included and all that sort of thing. So you can write in to us, or you will be able to make posts on our pages, because we're going to have web pages and Facebook pages that you'll be able to do that. So we're in the process of doing some background preparation and some back of office stuff at the moment, and we're hoping to be up and running probably by February. Now, when we think about gratitude, for people who are in victim spaces, people who have suffered and people who are feeling traumatised and so on, you might think, well, hang on a minute. Why would you ask them to have gratitude? Isn't that a bit rich, expecting them to think about gratitude? But there's a lot of research that shows that it's a particularly effective tool. I've worked with people who, for example, had killed somebody They've been a drunk driver and they've done their time in jail and so on, and they've so-called rehabilitated. But they can't shake what they feel. They can't flip the clock back to what they were like before they committed that deed in that moment's inner tension, which may or may not have been fueled by the alcohol, but certainly the alcohol didn't help them cope with what happened next. consequently, in this consideration, what has actually come out is that when people can use cultivating a spirit of gratitude, however they do that, it's not so important, whatever route they choose, as long as it fits with their interest in life and their general motivation. I mean, if they're a gardener, talking to nature before they garden is quite sensible and it makes sense to them. But if they're not a gardener, that's not something that they're going to click with. So it has to fit with their general identity and overall interest in what they do in life. But provided this it works that way, the actual route they choose, the actual program or intervention they choose doesn't really matter too much. What matters is that they do it regularly. It doesn't have to be lengthy in time, might only be 5 minutes, but that they do it daily and it becomes a habit and it shifts their innermost thinking. So it strengthens their core. It actually gives them a resilient mental armour, if you like. And in the case of those people who are suffering because of what someone's done to them or what they've done to someone else, it actually breaks the cycle. It breaks the mental dialogue where they're beating themselves up or they're beating up somebody else, blaming them. It actually changes that dynamic. It brings about a growth of compassion in the heart, either for themselves or for the other party. It enables them to move into a more neutral space. It enables them to suspend judgment. After all, it's very difficult to develop empathy for someone if you're busy judging them, because while you're judging them, you can't walk in their shoes. You can't imagine what it's like to be them. So to improve things on the planet, to ensure that there are more positive and more peaceful relationships generated, whether it's in classrooms or workplaces or even on the road, it's important that people find ways to learn how to develop the spirit of gratitude, because it really is a powerful tool. It really can change, not immediately, but over time. Cultivated as a habit, it can actually transform how people interact, what they hold in their heart, what they choose to focus on. And when you choose, whatever you choose to focus on, you get more of. So if you're going to be bitter and twisted, or you're going to be judgmental, or you're going to be a victim and woe is me, or you're going to be blaming somebody else instead of being more active about your own responsibility in the situation, then you're going to get more of the same. In order to free up, in order to be in a new space, in a new place, there's no better way than practicing having a spirit of gratitude. And I'm not trying to be Pollyanna-ish about this. It's just a matter of finding a way that you can do it. So more about this in future programs, and I hope that you'll tune in and enjoy being with us in 2020, because Senior Focus is all about not only the senior community, but all their family and all the people that care about them. Thank you. Get together with Senior Focus next Sunday at 5:25 p.m. on Planet FM 104.6, or listen online at any time at planetaudio.org.nz/senior focus, and do note Senior Focus is one word.
Never miss your favourite shows again. Click on to planetaudio.org.nz.
e mohio ana koe ki te kōrero Māori. Taringa.